John 8:36, for the sake of time, I only have really 20 minutes or so. I'll go ahead and read it. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want us to understand that, yes, as Americans, we celebrate political freedom, but one of the greatest freedoms, or if not the greatest freedom we can celebrate, is the spiritual freedom. Amen. Jesus Christ died, sacrificed, had faith, courage for you and I. So that way, every one of us could live victoriously in Christ. But here's my question. Will your faith be standing when the smoke clears? God has always used ordinary people with extraordinary faith to accomplish impossible things. Here's my first point. Faith gives us the victory before the battle is over. Faith gives us victory. First point. Faith gives us victory. Faith gives us victory. If you have a battle that you're going through, before it's over, can I tell you, he's giving you the victory. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing that God has the answer before you see the answer. That's faith. Francis Scott Key, like we said, could not see Fort McHenry through the darkness, the same way Abraham could not see Isaac becoming a nation, the same way that Noah could not see the rain before building the ark, the same way that Joshua could not see the walls of Jericho fallen until he went to Jericho. That's what faith is about. And if you want to endure the tough times, if you want to have victory, my friends, you and I need to understand that the victory, the battle, is over. But that's what faith does. Depending on God, that he has the answer. How many of you here believe, and it's not a trick question, but how many of you believe that you have strong faith this morning? You can raise your hand or not, but if you believe you have strong faith. I'm going to tell you this. It's not produced by positive thinking. It's produced by spending time in the Word of God. And what I want us to understand, that if we have a weak Bible study or a weak Bible reading schedule or a weak I guess you could just memorization, I guess. If you have a weak Bible structure, your faith is weak. And I don't have to, like, you don't have to argue with me or have a discussion about it. It's just what it is. When you have a walk with God, a scripture reading, then you have a stronger faith. Because here's the thing. If you choose to obey God's word over your desires, over your heart, over your thoughts, it creates in you a strong faith. You're becoming like an Isaac. You're becoming like a Noah. You're becoming like a Joshua, a Joseph. That you might not see the answer at the end. By the way, you don't know the whole story. Who does? God sees the complete picture. You only see a part of your story. Amen? That's why we have to have strong faith. So when we read the Bible and we obey it, what it creates in us is this Christian lifestyle. Not out of emotion. I'm not going to react as quickly to grievances or annoyances because when I read the Bible, it teaches me how to respond, right? But if all we do is consume what the world has to offer, if all we consume social media outlets, all we consume are the news outlets, all we consume are the relationships that we're in, right? Birds, what is it? Birds, feathers, something about feathers. What's the feather? Something about 100 pounds of feathers is the same as 100 pounds of bricks? No, I'm joking. Yeah, birds of a feather flock together. Yeah, that's just, I'm trying to get y'all back. Amen. It woke you up, right? Wherever you were at, you're back here. What? That didn't make sense, Pastor. Okay, you're back. But birds of a feather work, you know, flock together, right? If you're consuming that more than the Bible, and let's just be honest. We live here in this world, right? We're going to be at work. We're going to be at home. We'll go to church, but we're only going to church, if you think about it, 3 hours maybe a week. For those of you that are very spiritual, maybe 6, 7. What are you doing at home? That's where family devotions come in. What are you doing at home? That's where you read the Bible and walk with God by yourself. That's where that comes in. When you make it a part of your life, like a necessity, like, God, I'm going to give you 10%, right, of my life, of my time. I'm going to spend time in the Bible and prayer. Here's my 10%. It's not always about money. It's about your heart. But it's important we understand, if you have a weak Bible obedience, you have a weak faith. That's the truth. You don't have to tell me how long you spend, okay? I'm just trying to tell you facts. Because I want us to understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And just like Noah could not see the rain, and he still built that ark. Just like Abraham did not see the nations, and he still had to obey God and almost sacrifice his son Isaac. Just like Joshua, as a captain, could not see those fallen walls crumbling, he still had to obey and go around those walls of Jericho. That's the same way it's going to take for you to have victory. You must, and I must, trust in God. But you have to get connected to the power source. Amen? You have to get connected to the source of the power of your faith, of my faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by what? Not by sight. How many of you, this might be personal, I don't know. If I offend you, I apologize. I preached a sermon earlier about offending. Amen. I apologize. But if I offend you, not intentional. How many of you make as much as you want to make right now? Raise your hand. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Keeping it 100, I guess. None of y'all make as much as you want to make right now? I'm talking about income. You still didn't want to raise your hand? All right. You can make a little bit more? Could we use a little bit more? We could use a little. You make enough? Yeah, okay. You were saying? We have one. All right, who else? Come on, let me see. Let me pull teeth here. Here's the truth, right? I don't think, with the exception of Ms. Naomi, amen? But I don't think we are all making as much as we want to make, I think, you know? We have bills to pay, right? Some of us, we have our lifestyles to upkeep. Some of us need to live below our means, amen? That's the key to that. But anyways, let me not preach that. My point that I'm trying to make, we look at our paycheck and we say, well, God, I can't afford to. We look at our bills. We look at our lifestyle. Man, I can't afford to tithe. My friend, you can't afford not to. That's what separates some of us. When we look at other people, we're like, man, why is it that they get everything? Why is it that it's not that? Those people have to do the hardest thing, and that depend on their paycheck and depend on God. That God would open the opportunity maybe to get a better income. That God would open an opportunity to get a side job. Maybe that God would open up the opportunity for them to get educated, to get the promotion. I don't know. All I know is I need to obey. And if my Bible reading is weak, and if my Bible obedience is weak, then my faith is what? Weak. You get it? So if God commands me or tells me, maybe it's just a blessing for me. How many of you like blessings? Maybe it's just a blessing. Maybe you're like, well, God doesn't command. Well, okay. But just so you know, tithing happened before he commanded that in the laws. Abraham, right? He tithed to who? The priest. What's his name? Melchizedek. So it's not in the Bible that it's a part of the Ten Commandments. It's not just for Israel. No, it's for all of us. I want to be blessed by God. God, this is what I have to do. Okay. I'm looking at my bills, though, God. God, I'm looking at my income. And I don't like the outcome. Amen. But God's saying, Zeke, I don't need you to obey. I don't need you to understand before you obey. I just need you to obey. If you want my blessing. If you want to see how I'm going to intervene in your life. Oh, like that, God? Yeah, like that. See, what we need to start doing, like what these men in the Bible did, we need to start just depending on God. And I'm not saying be foolish. Please understand what I'm saying. We need to depend on God and saying, God, you know the story. You know the entire story. You're an all-knowing God. You're omniscient. I'm limited to my knowledge. I don't even know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. Amen? I don't know if one of these kids are going to eat a bad pepperoni pizza and they're going to stink up the class. I don't know. I do know this. God knows it all. He knows it all. Ms. Shante, now wouldn't it be wise for me just to depend on him? Because I don't see it all. That's how we break the cycles in our homes, in our generations. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. Sight depends on circumstances. Faith depends on God's character. Sometimes we don't trust God's character, do we? Sight changes every day. It depends on how I feel. God, he never changes. Romans 10:17. Are you still with me? Say amen. So then faith cometh by what? And hearing by the... Man, I want strong faith, folks. I hope you want it too. But again, it comes down to this. If you want strong faith, it's not by positive thinking. It's by having a strong walk with God, a strong Bible reading, a strong study of the Bible, spending time with God. It's when you and I obey the word of God, the application, right? You apply it in your life. You see it. They give you an instruction, and you obey it. I'm supposed to love my enemies, God? How am I supposed to love my enemies? I barely love the people I'm supposed to love. How am I supposed to do that? Do you trust me, Zeke? Oh, okay, yes. That's the hard thing, to obey. This is why it's so important to get the Bible in us. This is why it's so important to study the Bible. This is why it's important to think about the Bible. This is why it's important to have devotions at home about the Bible. Because a weak Bible obedience creates weak Christians. Strong Bible obedience creates strong Christians. I've done this before over and over again, and sometimes I still struggle with it. I've made decisions based on what I see. I made the mistake of doing that when I noticed that God was not answering my prayer of having my father come into my life. I wanted to know who my father was. At age 14, I said, God, I've tried it your way for all these 14 years. Like, I'm big and bad, right? All these 14 years of my life, God, thinking teenager, I thought I knew it all. And I said, I'm going to stop doing it your way. Now, I didn't stop my salvation. If I would have died in the state and condition I was in, I was going to heaven. Now, I wasn't doing anything for God because I was in a rebellious state. I allowed my father's behavior to create resentment and bitterness in my life. So I was looking at and living by sight and saying, well, God, you didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted it to. So guess what? I'm going to get my ball and go. Guess what? It didn't go well for 7 years of my life. But I do know this. At age 21, I had to realize and surrender. I need to stop making decisions based off of what I see or how I feel. I need to start making decisions based off of what the Bible says. But here's the true problem. Many of you agree with me. Here's the true problem. Many of you don't know what the Bible says, if you're honest. Many of us are still living off of Pastor Rivera's, you know, old timed out sermon that he did a Bible study on, and he's still learning too, like you are, and you're living off of that. No, have your own Bible study. I don't know, folks, if you remember, but I tell you, don't go home, wives, and tell your husbands, Pastor Rivera said, no, Pastor Rivera didn't say that. No, what the Bible says, amen? What does the Bible say? This is why you come to a Bible-believing church. We preach from the Bible and the Word of God. This is what God says, not pastor. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm not preaching my opinion or my preference. Amen? You want true change in life? What does the Bible say? Then obey it. I want us to understand that we need to stop making decisions based off of what we see. We need to start making decisions based off of what God says. Faith does not eliminate fear. You know what faith does? It simply obeys God, despite of the fear that we feel. It teaches you how to live. Continue living. You have fear? It's okay. Just obey God. It's going to be all right. It teaches you how to live a more excellent way. Church, we need to quit acting like God has resigned from heaven every time life gets difficult. We need to stop acting that way. The devil wants us to believe that, yeah, God doesn't exist. Why? Because if you can't see God working, what are you going to think? That God is not what? He's not working. If you believe it. But let me ask you something. The God that parted the Red Sea, the God that helped me in my life break the cycle of sin in my family's life, you expect me to think and believe that God cannot? When I've already seen victories in my past life? Some of you have seen victories in your life and where God has you? Yes. You might not like where you're at right now, but you've seen the victories, how God has helped you in those impossible paths of your life. Have you not? So yes, God is working. And yes, God can work. But my friends, understand this. This is the God that raised Lazarus from the dead. This is the God that raised Christ from the dead, that brought him back to life. Jesus, God in the flesh. And here's the thing. Some of us are ready to throw away 20 years of faith. Or I don't know how long you've been coming to church. Well, we haven't been around that long, but you know what I mean. Some of you are willing to just throw it all away over 24 hours of confusion. Because you don't understand what God is doing in your life. God is working through you. Amen? God is accomplishing things through you. I want you to understand that the sun will rise and you'll discover that God has never left the throne. Here's the second point. That's what Francis Scott Key discovered. Amen? Courage stands. Courage stands. Courage stands when everybody else runs. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. What is God commanding him? To be what? Courageous. It's just simple. Okay. Courageous. He's commanding them to be courageous. Not to be what? Neither to be. For the Lord thy God is what? Whithersoever thou goest, he'll never leave you or forsake you. It's a promise. Don't allow the fear. I want you to notice that courage was not Joshua's suggestion, by the way. It was God's command. You know why? What feels natural to you when your life is in danger? Courage or what? Fear, right? That's natural, right? Okay. I don't know about you, but I like living. Amen? So if I could, I should, or, you know, would run. That's cowardice. You know, well, I get to live another day at least. But that's a choice though, right? If I have fear, and it's natural to me to tell someone about the Lord, amen. If I have fear to do what's right, what is my choice? If I run away, that was my choice, cowardice. Or if I decide to stand up, that's what? My choice, courage. Because it's not natural. It's not natural. Are you still with me? Courage stands when everyone else runs. Joshua was going to face giants in the promised land. cities ahead, battles ahead. God never promised him an easy road. You know what he promised? His presence. That's what God is promising you. That's what God is promising you. God, I don't know about this marriage. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'll be there with you. God, I'm afraid I'd never had my dad in my life, so I don't know what it's supposed to look like. God, Zeke, I'll be there with you. God, I kind of messed this up. Zeke, I know. But I'll be there with you. That's how it looks like. But you have to make the choice, right? Am I going to run away from this redhead? I'm going to stand up to her. No, I'm kidding. Am I going to run away from this marriage? Because it's hard. It's an impossible path. She's not going to understand where I come from. See, I'm there with you. And that's the God of possibility. What's impossible to us, for him is possible. But it's going to take faith, and it's going to take courage that you and I stand. Isaiah 41:10. Keep silence before me. Now, I promise you, this was not planned. Amen. This is just, amen. Keep silence before. Amen. Probably Jesus didn't want me to read that. Amen. It's in the Bible. Amen. But it talks about, you know, fear thou not. It came back on? Okay. Brother Benjamin, if you move your head this way, it'll probably come back on. Amen. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to what? To judgment. This is not the right verse. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go to Isaiah 41:10. Amen. 41:10. You're the only one that I can look at. Amen. All right, who has it? 41:10. Can you read it out loud, Miss Lily, please? Thank you. Thank you so much that you actually have the right passage. Amen. Fear thou not. Why? For I am what? Man, if you can get this, because it's still taking me a while, okay? I haven't arrived. But if we can get this, God's presence is greater than our problems. That'll change your life. His presence is greater than our problems. What we think is impossible to do, what we think is no answer to, what we look in confusion because we don't understand, his presence is greater than our problems. What do you mean? Well, it's humbling, Tyler, but I've learned that my confidence is not found in myself because I don't know. I'm dealing with the unknown. And I found out that it's found in the one who walks with me. I'm not trying to be weird or awkward. It's God. The I am. When we can get that understanding, you get to see the high and the right view of God, who he is. And you get to be realistic and see who you are. And it's not that you're trying to put yourself down, but it's the fact that you understand. As long as his presence is there, it's going to be greater than my problems. Psalm 27:1, a psalm of David. Okay, the Lord is my light. Oh man, I love this. And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know that fear you might have? Some of us have fear of failure. Some of us have fear of success. It exists because we don't know what to do next, I guess. But some of us have fear, right? We have phobias. You know when fear loses its grip? Fear loses its grip when God becomes bigger than your circumstance. Think about that. Oh, God, I'm afraid of where I'm growing up. I don't think I'm ever going to have the family I want to have. I don't think I'm ever going to get married. I don't think. Fear no longer has that grip in your life. If you have God in your life, you'll realize that he's bigger than what you're going through. That's God. And that builds courage. And that helps us continue. I'm telling you, this generation, our generation, has learned to cancel people. Yeah. If we don't like what they say, cancel, right? Boycott. But you know who God is looking for? People that are willing to carry the cross. That's hard. We've got Christians that will fight over soccer games. Amen. And football teams, hook 'em horns. Amen. Pray for me. Amen. I didn't say I arrived. Amen. God's still working on me. We have Christians who argue over politics. We debate on social media. But when we tell one sinner about Jesus, well, no, I'm afraid that they might not like me. Amen? What's wrong with that? All you have to do is make a choice and be courageous. The same way you're courageous about soccer. Same way you're courageous about football. The same way you're courageous about 4th of July and Taco Tuesday. Amen? The same way. Amen? All right. I was trying to see who's awake. Amen? I saw a couple of people. Amen? Courage, I want us to understand, is not loud. Courage stands when it costs something. Well, I'm afraid they might not like me. Okay, then stand. Oh, I'm afraid they might talk bad about me. Okay, then stand. That's where courage is needed. Not ashamed, not afraid, because I know the one that's with me is bigger than my problems, is bigger than my circumstances. And if that's the worst that can happen to me, then praise the Lord, maybe that wasn't a person that should have liked me in the first place. Maybe that's not the type of person I should associate in the first place. Oh, but I like what they tell me. They always agree with me. That's definitely not the right person you should be around. Amen? You need somebody to tell you the truth, not to coddle your emotions and your feelings, your pet sin. Amen? Third point. Oh, man, I'm past a minute. Are you guys okay with this last one? Are we okay? If not, I apologize. I apologize to offend you. Amen? Sacrifice is the price. Of what, Pastor? Of true freedom. You got to pay that price. You want to be free? You have to pay with sacrifice. When it gets hard, you have to give something up. You have to. Whether it's your indulgence or things that you like, your idols, whether it's your friends that were guiding you astray, whether it's the movies you watch, the music you listen to, maybe the hobbies that you're into, there's always a sacrifice if you want true freedom. I want to have that true freedom, Brother Benjamin, to raise my children, to love God, fear God, and serve God. Those three things. You notice it's not about to love their parents, to be good citizens. You notice it's not that? God is everything. God is everything. And I'm not trying to talk about spooky, weird things, but if it's spooky and weird, it might be because it's probably foreign to you. When you and I get to this place where we understand who's given us everything, guess who we're going to prioritize in our life? Not my music. Definitely not Mr. Old Poetic Tupac. Amen. I promise you, no. Not the, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to promote the world, okay? But, and I'm not trying to glorify the world. I'm trying to glorify God, what he brought me out of. Amen? You know? Ambitious as a writer. Amen? No, I'm kidding. But no, it's not that. It's this. If that's what it's going to take for me to raise my children to love God, fear God, and serve God, so that way when they get married, they have the same legacy and godly heritage that I've been given from my mom and my wife has been given from her dad and her mom, then so be it. So be it. So be it. At the end of the day, am I that selfish that I'm not willing to pay a price for the future of my children? Let me take it a step further. Are you that selfish, sir, ma'am, that you're not willing to give up your idol for the benefit and for the future of your children. And you know what? Here's the next step, man. This is the one that I have a hard time. I'm supposed to love my enemies. And I'm not saying everybody in White House is my enemy, amen? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I have some enemies. And those enemies, I'm supposed to love them. Ms. Deborah, I don't know about you, but some of my enemies attacked my wife, my marriage, my family, my finances, try to destroy my reputation. You think I want to say, oh yeah, come here, we love you. No. But I will say this, because I love them, I keep them at a distance. I have set boundaries. They're still alive. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about, you know, the snake's head hasn't been cut off yet. But it's there. It's alive. But I'm going to trust you to be who you are, a snake. And because I love you, I'm going to keep a distance and boundary to where you can live with your family, you can live alone, you can live in your little world, whatever that is. But I also understand this, that's a sacrifice. That's not a big sacrifice for me, really. When somebody tries to go after my family, that's like good riddance, amen? But here's the truth. I'm going to have to sacrifice my children from knowing them. I'm going to have to sacrifice, if there was any kind of relationship that was going to be built there, sacrifice that. But understand that. Is it really a sacrifice when you're in the will of God and all God is doing is purging the dead branches in your life? Is it really a sacrifice? No, it might be a pain for a little bit, but watch your life flourish into what it's supposed to become and produce fruit. Yeah, big difference. Guess what? There's a price to pay. It's not about money. It's not about money. It's about, maybe sometimes it might be self-image. You have to sacrifice your self-image. People are like, well, whoa, you know, did you see what Pastor did? Did you see his hairdo? He's trying to grow it back. I'm going to have to sacrifice that. Amen? The hair. I love the hair, but I don't have any anymore, so I have to cut it off. That's part of the sacrifice. I know it might not be a big deal to you, but back in the day, ask my wife how I conquered her. Slick Rick. Slick back Rick, you know, hair. I mean, she tried to thump it one time and it didn't move. Amen? It was just there. I was proud of it. Guess what? Guess what, though? If I understand that all it takes is for me to get over myself in order for God to use me, so we can do the better service of serving you, Victory Baptist Church, then why not? I'm not saying I have this hairdo for you, okay? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I stop worrying about self-image, right? And started realizing there's things in life that are more important than myself and my image. And it's helping people, serving others. Does that make sense? Well, guess what? That's true freedom for me. I'm no longer attached to the beautiful hair that I used to have. Amen? If I had a bad hair day, guess what? I'm no longer attached to hairspray or gel. Well, gel. Amen. I'm no longer attached to that hair knit I used to have. Amen? I'm no longer attached to that. I don't even comb my hair. Testify. Amen? We're testifying here. Amen? You say, Pastor, really? Well, work with me here. There are some things in your life, right, that you might say, you know what? I need to sacrifice this. Follow me. It might not be your hair. I get it. It wasn't your idol in your life. I get it. Okay? I get it. I'm not saying it was an idol in my life. It was just a stronghold. Amen? And the devil was using that. Let me just read the Bible, man. There's verses. Come on. I'm getting too deep. You're getting too close to my heart. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his what? Friends. Amen? Continue. Because I'm over. Oh, man. Continue, continue. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Christ died for us. Don't ever think that you're not worthy. God believes you're worthy. Even in your sin, even he knew that we're going to let him down, he still was willing to what? Die for us. Think about it that way. Man, he loved me so much. He knew I was going to let him down, Ms. Naomi, but he still was willing to die for me because he thought I was worth it. Without hair. All right, next. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us what? Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get caught up in those things. If you've sacrificed those things, if you've purged those things out of your life, man, don't get caught up in those things again. Go back to that, right? Don't. You say, Pastor, I have a gambling problem, or I have an addiction problem of drinking, or I have a problem of making too much money. That could be a problem. Amen. Listen, if you have a problem with that and God has helped you overcome whatever that is in your life, I don't know what it is. Maybe you might have, you fill in the blank because you know your stuff. Amen. But if you have a problem with that and God has helped you overcome it, do you remember how hard and difficult it was? Not to tell you too much of my story, but getting off of influences, amen, because we're not trying to promote the devil here, but, you know, the holy herb there, you know, Mary Jane. Getting off of stuff like that, man, that's hard. Addictions, you know, I can tell you the smell of different kinds. You got skunk, you got pine, you got purple haze, you got Acapulco gold. I know it. Now, it's not because I'm new to the game. It was just the way in life that I was introduced. I have the smell for it. How foolish would it be of me? I see what God has done in my life. I see how far he's gotten me out of what he's gotten me out of. I see the family and my kids, you know. My kids are graduating from high school. Not many people in my family could say that. You follow me? They're going to college. Not many people in my family could say that. It would be foolish of me to say, well, game over. All right, let me go back to my past life and get entangled in that. How foolish of that. Who would I be destroying? Really, me? No, sin goes further than just us. And I want you to understand that there should be no reason we go back again and get entangled in those things, because it's all bondage. You follow me? Bow your head, close your eyes. Everybody loves freedom, but very few of us are willing to sacrifice, man, pay the price. Everybody wants resurrection, but nobody wants the cross. Everybody wants heaven, but we don't really want holiness and to live a separated life. Can I tell you that my comfort has never changed the world? Can I tell you that my convenience has never rescued a soul? My excuses have never built a godly home. I want you to understand that Jesus didn't purchase my freedom or your freedom with silver or gold. He purchased it with his life, with his blood. So, think about it this way. Stop living like the chains are more valuable than the liberty he died to give you. Stand in the freedom of Christ. Pastor, how? Walk by faith, face life with courage, and never forget the greatest victory was won on the rugged cross outside of Jerusalem. As the piano plays, the flag still flies because brave men and women stood. They were courageous. They gave their lives. I promise you, when those people at Fort McHenry were listening to the bombs 25 straight hours and the walls were shaking, what were the parents telling their kids to console them? Men and women standing for our freedom. See, it took courage. It took courage not to run up and put down the American flag and put a surrender flag. It took courage. My friends, please don't surrender. Don't raise the flag of surrender in your life. It takes courage. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But remember, he hasn't left us. His presence is bigger than our problems. His presence is bigger than our circumstances. Even though we're afraid, guess what? We can still have faith despite fear. We still can. The gospel still saves because Jesus stayed on the cross. The church can still stand until the King returns, because the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ today, you have something greater to look forward to. One day, the skies will open, the King of Kings will return, every battle of faith will be over. But until then, walk by faith, stand with courage, and live sacrificially. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and your truth, Lord. I'm sorry, I apologize if I intervened too much, Lord, and did not allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. Lord, I don't ever want to stand in your way. God, if anything, I want to stay out of your way and just watch, experience, listen to what you have for us. God, this morning I know we're celebrating 250 years of the birth of our nation, a nation that was founded under Christian Judeo principles. But Lord, at the end of the day, we were founded under your teachings. And as my Savior, Lord, I thank you for the political freedom we have as an American, but more than that, I'm grateful for the spiritual freedom you've given me, that you've given many of us, that you've given my wife, our children, Lord, that you've given our church. That freedom, Lord, that sin no longer has hold of us, or death will no longer have reign over our life. That one day, Lord, when we die, you will save us. We're citizens of heaven. But Lord, none of that could have happened if you would have never had the courage to stay on the cross and die for us. For that reason, Lord, I want to say thank you. From the bottom of my heart, with all my soul, this is why I give myself to you, not just every day, but to this ministry, to my family, to my wife. And when I'm around the community, to the people, Lord, it's not because I'm serving them. It's because I'm serving you. And I'm just grateful for what you've done in my life and continue to do. I pray that everyone in this room would have not just a special blessing, but that they would understand that we would all gather the truth from your word and apply it to our life and understand that, God, we can truly have freedom, but there's a price to pay. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings, the cursings. Thank you, Lord, for the safety, Lord, that you've given us. The honor and glory be to you. Bless our great state of Texas and bless the great country of the United States of America. But at the end of the day, bless Jesus Christ, your gospel, Lord. Help us reach the whole entire world with your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you for being here. You are dismissed. Amen. Men, if you can help me get those picnic tables, I believe they're in the shed. That would be a big help. Thank you.